Please take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 12 as we finish up the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. And we've been looking at the subject of timing is everything. And we've seen that God has a time for everything. And God told Daniel, the good news was that he was going to, because he's sovereign, he was going to bring his people to himself. And they were going to be blessed of God and saved. And everything was going to turn out all right. Have you ever read a book and you wondered how the end would come out, and then you read the last chapter and you were able to relax? Well, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the last chapter of Daniel, that God's going to win. The victory is going to be the Lord's. And we're in a battle right now. The devil doesn't like what God's doing in your life. If you're saved, if you have a work for God, he doesn't like it. He will attack that. But thank God, we know that Jesus is going to come back and that the victory is the Lord's. And timing is everything. And the Lord said that the second thing on this timing is everything is that his people would need to be purified. And we know that that would happen in the second 3.5 years of the 7 years of Daniel chapter 9, that God would bring his people through tribulation, and his people, Israel, would go through the day of the Lord's wrath, but then that they would get saved at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we looked at that. And then we saw that timing is everything, that after the 7 years, there is a period called the reclamation period, when the Lord, according to Revelation 10, is going to come back. He's going to put his left foot, one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea, and he's going to reclaim the earth. And how long will it be after he, Jesus, touches down on the earth until he has successfully put down all opposition? Yes. Very good, Cameron. 30 days. And that is in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Look at that. It says in verse 11, "And from the day that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh deathless set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now, if it was only 3.5 years until the Lord wins the victory over all opposition, it would be 1,260 days. But it's not. It's 1,290 days. And that, in Daniel 12:11, tells us there's an extra 30 days. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that God has a schedule for everything that's going to happen. That he's in control. And by the way, you ought to have your life by schedule. We start our school at 8 a.m., amen? And that's when we're supposed to be here, right? And we're supposed to be in church at 7 and so forth. God has a schedule, and timing is important so that we don't miss out on what God has. And God's timing is perfect, and he has it all under control. And he's going to win the victory during this reclamation period. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to defeat Satan, and he's going to reclaim the earth for himself. What is the last thing that happens at the end of the 30 days of reclamation? What is the last great battle where the Lord beats the devil? Cameron? The battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 19, the Lord comes back with his angels. He'll be riding a white horse, and the armies of the earth will be gathered. By the way, the Chinese armies, the Indian army, the Iranian army, the Russian army, all the armies of the earth, the armies of Europe, and all the armies of the earth at that time, the United States, all the armies of the earth at that time will be gathered together, not to fight one another, but to fight Jesus. And it will be no fight. He will defeat the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. And the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle bits for 200 miles around that area of the world in that battlefield called Armageddon. There, 200 miles it will flow. And that's because they're fighting against the Lord, and he's going to win the battle. However, I want you to notice that timing is everything. What happens, do you think, right after the Lord wins that battle of Armageddon, at the end of those 30 days, what do you think happens after that? You kind of wonder, don't you? Well, we know the Bible says that the Lord is going to set up his kingdom on earth, that he's going to reign over this earth, right, for 1,000 years. But guess what? It's not going to happen immediately after that. I want you to look at verse 12 of Revelation 12. I mean, Daniel 12. Look what it says. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." All right, now, how many more days is that beyond the 30 days? And the 30 days is beyond the 7 years. How many more days now do we have to wait for the kingdom of God after the 30 days, according to that verse? Joe?
45.
45 more days. 45 more days. And, you know, the Bible says, if you study the Bible, timing is everything, that God has certain things that He is going to accomplish during those 45 days. Now, if you're a child of God and you're saved, where are you during this time? Anybody know? One of the men? Brother Bob?
New Jerusalem, hovering above old city Jerusalem.
All right, you're in the New Jerusalem, which is in the third heaven. At this time, and you're way up there, and we're the bride of Christ. And the Lord has come down with His angels now to fight the battle of Armageddon. And now there's 45 days left, and we're going to look at what's going to happen, because we know that when the 1,000 years is set up, what's going to happen to the New Jerusalem? Just what Brother Bob said. It's going to come down from heaven and hover above the old city of Jerusalem at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And that's where you and I, if we're saved, that's where we're going to be with the Lord, in that heavenly city of the New Jerusalem, which will come down from heaven. But from the time of the rapture, which happens somewhere during the second 3.5 years, until the beginning of the millennium, that's where we're going to be. And then we're going to come down with the Lord, with the New Jerusalem, and we're going to reign with the Lord from that vantage place over the world. And there will be people in this world that will be having babies, and we'll be like the angels. We'll have resurrected bodies, and we'll have certain jobs that the Lord will give us to do in that kingdom of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me. You ever get tired? Some of you teachers get tired. Some of you soul winners get tired. Some of you workers get tired. You won't have to sleep. You won't get tired. You won't get sick. You will be able to serve the Lord forever. We're not just going to be floating around on clouds. We're going to be serving the Lord forever. And so the Bible says, though, that this 45-day period after the Battle of Armageddon, until we are involved in the Lord's kingdom, that certain things are going to happen during that 45-day period. Now, I'm not going to go through it all real I'm just going to go through it real quick with you. But number one, the Bible says that during that period of time, that there's going to be a great big mountain that's going to be higher than all the mountains, and it's going to be lifted up. Not Mount Everest. Mount Everest, I think, is the highest mountain today. What will be the highest mountain during that 45-day period? Cameron? Oh, close. Not Mount Olive. Mount what?
Mount Sinai.
Not Mount Sinai. Brother Bob.
Isaiah 2, Mount Zion.
All right, Isaiah, he's got it here. Isaiah 2:2. It will be Mount Zion. Let's turn there. Isaiah 2:2, real briefly. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but Isaiah 2:2. God is going to cause the mountains to be lifted up. Now, as you're turning there, listen, why is that important? When the seventh bowl judgment at the end of the 30 days takes place, what happens to all the mountains of the world, including Mount Everest? What happens to them? They are going to be leveled. Leveled by God's judgments. Mighty Everest and all the mountains, Mount McKinley in Alaska. Boom, just leveled. And God says, okay, now I'm going to level all these mountains. And now I'm going to lift up my mountain, the place where my temple has been, the place where you worship me. Because I want you to know that I'm the one to be lifted up. You know, man, when he climbs mountains, sometimes he gets prideful. And he does certain things and he accomplishes certain things and he gets prideful in himself. No, we don't need to be self-made people. We need to be God-made people. We need to get where we are by God's grace, right? So we can give him the glory. So his mountain's going to be lifted up. And Brother Bob, would you read Isaiah 2:2, please, out loud.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it.
Wow. That's what's going to happen during this 45-day period in preparation for the Lord's kingdom to be set up. And let me just say this, if you have a mountain, you got to put something on top of the mountain. Now, obviously, during the seventh bowl judgment and during the judgments of the day of the Lord's wrath, the temple of the Antichrist has been flattened and destroyed. And so this is a fourth temple now that's going to be built there. And the Bible says that's another thing that's going to happen during this period. Go to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah, the second to the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 6. And I want to show you how the Lord is going to build his temple there. Zechariah, go to chapter 6 if you have that. Second to the last book of the Old Testament. And once you get there in Zechariah chapter 6, look at verse 12 and 13. Just want to look at those two verses. It says, Zechariah 6:12, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, that's Jesus, the Messiah, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build," look at this, "the temple of the Lord." That's the millennial temple. "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." Now listen, this scripture is going to deceive some of the Jewish people. When the Antichrist, who will be a Jew, comes into the temple and sits in the Holy of Holies, he's going to say, "I'm your Messiah." They're going to say, "Yeah, okay." And they're going to, many Jews are going to accept him as Messiah. Not all of them, but many of them. And they're going to be deceived by him. He's also going to put the image of the beast in there, in the temple. But when the true Messiah comes, listen, no talking. When the true Messiah comes, he is going to put the temple that he has built. And some Jews, by the way, that are very Orthodox Jews, they say that when the temple is built, it's got to be done by the Messiah. And they're right. They are the right ones, the very ultra-Orthodox. They just don't know Jesus is the Messiah. Now, question, when is he going to build that? My personal inference of that is, I believe it's going to be built in heaven by the Lord. He could very well be building it now. You see, there is a temple in heaven. We see it in the book of Revelation. We see the Ark of the Covenant. But notice, when John speaks of the New Jerusalem coming down in the millennial kingdom, is there a temple in it? No, there is no temple. So I'm taking it that the temple the Lord built in heaven, he's going to move it to earth during this 45 days. And he's going to set it up there. You know, sometimes houses, they move them, right? And he's going to move it. Now, later on, when the New Jerusalem comes down then from heaven, it won't have the temple in it. And it's going to hover right over Mount Zion. And so it will hover over the temple. So the temple will be on earth, but the saints in the New Jerusalem will have access to it at that time. And the saints on earth that flow into that Mount Zion, they'll have access to the temple at that time. By the way, where today is the temple of God? On earth. Not the temple in Jerusalem, but where today is the temple of God on earth? Brother Bob?
The body of the believer.
The body of the believer. That you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? And where else is the temple of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. The corporate gathering of all the believers in a church, a local church. We collectively are the temple of God. And so that's why God says to leadership, if you destroy the temple of God, I will destroy you, God says. That's a scary position for church leaders to be in, amen? I will destroy you. In other words, my judgment will be directly. The temple of God, the church, is very important. And so the church must be guarded. By the way, let me say this. When the temple was built after the Babylonian captivity, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest came there and established the temple. But after the temple was built, what did God send Nehemiah to do? After the temple was built. Yes?
Protect it. To build the wall.
The wall was non-existent. It was broken down. And there is a good application to us today. Listen, that when God builds a church, he builds walls around it from the world to separate the church from the world. And so there needs to be a careful wall of separation to protect the church. And that means that God's people need to be a peculiar people. They need to be a distinct people. And they need to be protected from the sins of the world. And so there needs to be that protection. And God says that temple of God, the whole world is going to flow into that temple of God. And that will be the center of worship at that time. It certainly isn't today, but it will be at that time. Now, during that 45-day period, The people of Israel are going to be restored back to their land. All right, the people of Israel are going to go back to their land. Remember that some of them have been hidden out in a place called Azel while the bowl judgments were taking place. The Lord hid them there. They're going to go back to the land. But others that survived the day of the Lord, they're going to be go back to their land. And the Bible says that certain of them that did not get saved will be destroyed on their way back to Israel. God will destroy them with judgments. And only the saved remnant will come back. Do you know how many of the nation of Israel will survive the tribulation in the day of the Lord, Cameron? One third will come back, and all of them will be saved and they'll be back in their land. That'll happen during that 45-day period. By the way, the Bible says that Gentiles that survive the day of the Lord and survive the battle of Armageddon, listen to this, they too are going to be brought back to Israel. Now you say, what's so important about that? It's in the Word of God. I wonder, what do you think they're going to be brought back for? And by the way, I believe these will be they that did not take the mark of the beast, because the Antichrist and the false prophet and the Roman beast are going to be thrown into the lake of fire at the end of the 30 days. Satan on the first day of the millennium is going to be bound, and I believe those that have taken his mark will be in hell. But at the end of the during the 45 days, the Gentiles that did not take the mark are going to be, and that survived the day of the Lord, going to be brought back to Israel. What are they being brought back there for, though? By the way, they're not necessarily saved at this point. In fact, they're not saved at this point. Brother Bob.
Matthew's 25, sheep.
Yes. Yes, he had it. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment. And God is going to take all those people that didn't take the mark, and they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And on one hand, those that during the tribulation and during the day of the Lord, that they were taking care of the Jews. You know, the liberals always use this verse to do their liberal programs. But it's talking about those that took care of the Jewish people during the tribulation period. Even though they weren't saved, God says, all right, you are in a distinct group here. And you now have an opportunity to get saved. In fact, I am going to open your eyes just like I opened the eyes of the Jews that survived, the remnant of the Jews. I opened their eyes and they recognized me as the Messiah. Now Gentiles that helped the Jews out, they're going to have their eyes opened. They're going to be part of an elect group that will get saved right at that point during the 45-day period. They'll be gathered during that day, but on the first day of the millennium. And that's all going to happen to get ready for that. I'm saying to you that timing is everything. God has a purpose and a time for everything. And that's why it's important for us to plan our work. All right? Now, one more thing I want to say. And that is, the Lord... Let me ask you this. Before a person in the Bible serves as a prophet of God, a true prophet, like an Old Testament prophet, before they served as a king over Israel, before they became a priest of the Levitical priest, what had to happen to them? Brother Bob.
Anointing with oil.
Anointing with oil poured over their head, olive oil. Now, this is very important because during this 45-day period, there's somebody that's going to be anointed with oil, anointed by God. And I believe it'll be the Holy Spirit, certainly. A special anointing. Who is that person that's going to be anointed to be the King of Kings and the King of the Jews to rule over the world? One of the men, tell me, who's that person going to be? Joe?
Jesus.
Yeah. And go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. I want you to see this in Daniel 9, verse 24. That's exactly what's going to happen. Look at verse 24 of Daniel 9. Now here he says, 70 weeks are determined. In other words, it takes till the end of the 7 years for all these things to happen. I just want you to look at the last thing that's going to happen in Daniel 9:24. And to anoint what? The Most Holy. Now some people think that's the temple. But I believe that very well could be the Lord. Now here's why I say that. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7. Go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7, and let's look at 13 and 14 of Daniel 7. couple chapters back. Here's what it says. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. The Ancient of Days is the Lord God. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's talking about the Lord. He's going to come before the throne of God in heaven, and God is going to anoint him, listen to me, to be the king over the earth. Everybody that tries to fight against Jesus is going to lose. We are on the winning side. Jesus Christ is on the victorious side. That's why you should trust Him. That's why you should obey Him. That's why in your schedule and in your life, you ought to always put Him first in everything that you do. And you ought to seek His wisdom and seek His direction, because we're on the winning team. Now, I want to finish this, so please go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and look with me at verse number 13. Verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Timing is everything, not only because there's a purification and there's a reclamation period and a restoration period, but because God's plan has scheduled a rest day and a resurrection day for your life. Now, in verse 13, he tells Daniel, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Now, let me ask you a question here. How old is Daniel about at this time? How old is Daniel? Brother Greg? 80s. Yes, he's in his 80s. He's in his 80s. He's still active, by the way. He hasn't retired at 65. He's still active. And by the way, if you mistreat your body when you're young, it'll mistreat you back when you're old. If you treat it well when you're young, you'll be healthy when you're old. And you can serve the Lord longer. And that's a great testimony of Daniel. George Mueller, the great man of prayer, served God into his 90s, and he had health and strength. I thank God for the health and strength he's given me. And I'll tell you what, I don't think I'd be this good if I was a drunkard and smoked and all that stuff all my life. I'd be pretty close to checking out at this point. God says, take care of that temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Get exercise and eat right and treat it right. But use it to serve the Lord. Don't do like the people in L.A. do. They worship their bodies and they want to look good, you know. That's all they do it for. But he's saying, Daniel, you know what? You've given this revelation. You've done this work. You've stood. You dared to be a Daniel. You stood firm. And now you are going to rest. How is Daniel going to rest? Joe.
He's going to die.
He's going to die. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, when you who are saved, when you die, it's sleep. Now, your soul doesn't sleep. What goes to sleep when you die, Joe?
Your body.
Your body. What happens to your soul and spirit? Yes.
It goes up to heaven.
If you're saved, it goes right to heaven. Absent from the body, the Bible says, present with the Lord. But your body is tired, and so it sleeps. It's in the grave. Now, that's what God said. But listen, I like this in verse 13. He says, and stand in, thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. What does that tell you? That tells you that there's coming a day when Daniel is going to be raised from the dead, right? And he's going to stand in his lot. Now, think about lot, what that means. That is your allotted reward. That is what you are given for God in the kingdom based on how faithful you were to God while you were here. Okay? So, listen, here's the application. And let me ask you a question before I ask that. When is Daniel going to be raised from the dead? When are these... Brother Bob.
Oh, I was going to say it'll be... After rapture, he'll get his glorified body.
That's exactly right. The first resurrection. He will get his glorified body. When will you get raised from the dead? All of you, if you're saved, it'll be with Daniel at the same time. All the Old Testament saints, all the New Testament saints will be raised at the rapture. and we'll get our glorified bodies. And after the rapture, what happens? We go up to heaven, but what happens in heaven? Well, go to Revelation 14. We're going to end right here. Revelation chapter 14. This is what happens at the rapture. Revelation 14. And look at verse number 13. And it says there, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, but watch this, and their works do follow them. Listen, the Bible says after the rapture comes the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, and you will be rewarded for the works that you've done for the Lord since the day you got saved, and you'll be rewarded for what sort of works that they are. Now let me just say this to you. When he talks about that, he's talking about preachers in the context. That preachers are going to be rewarded. You read it in the context. They're church leaders, they're pastors. I believe it applies to every believer, because every believer will have a certain judgment from God. But listen, what sort of church did you build? Did you build a soul-winning church? I believe that sort is two things. Number one, that you are winning people to Christ and people are getting saved. And number two, that they are being protected from being spoiled by the world. Let me just say something to you. Back in the 1980s, our church, we were seeing some soul-winning fruit, but there was not the protection from the world. In some cases, listen to me, in some cases, leaders in this church, deacons and leaders in this church, were not willing to take a stand of separation from worldly practices. And in other cases, they were not willing to give up, quote-unquote, perceived liberties or true liberties for the sake of protecting others from being stumbled into sin. I'm saying to you that our church, if we are going to have a reward at the judgment seat of Christ, we need to be winning souls. Number one, but listen to me, we need to practice careful separation from worldliness, from our flesh, and we need to be careful we do not use our liberty to do something that would decay and stumble and destroy the work of God. I'm talking about leaders, things like drinking alcohol. I'm talking about things like the music you listen to. I'm talking about things like going to a movie and that kind of a thing, in a movie house where somebody can get that and take that and go down the road. I'm talking about being willing to give up even some things that may be a liberty for you, but it will have an adverse effect on the work of God. And you check out the Spirit of Christ in the New Testament, and he'll always be against that kind of liberty. And I can't say that more firmly enough. If we're going to see this work protected for the judgment seat of Christ, we've got to protect two things. We've got to make soul winning, number one, to reach people with the gospel. That's got to be number one in your life. And number two, listen to me, you've got to protect the fruit, even if it means giving up your liberties as a church. Or as leadership. And you'll be happy you did, because even an athlete gives up liberties, an Olympic athlete, which Paul uses. They give up liberties. Why? So they can be champions, so that they can win. We want to win people and have their fruit abound and remain.